Emily's Corner, and I have a guest today that actually she does not live far from me. It's probably the first survivor that I am connected to that is close to me here in Maine. I would like to bring her on the line. Her name is Michelle. And Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about your bio?
Sure. I will turn 44 on the 25th of this month, and it will be 5 years ago on October 4th that I had my stroke and my ruptured AVM, which was the reason for the stroke to take place anyway. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was extremely healthy. I did have symptoms, but I wasn't sure that the symptoms, or I wasn't aware that the symptoms were because of my brain problem.
Right. And can you tell us more about your event?
Sure. An AVM is an arteriovenous malformation. More often than not, they are in the brain, but they can take place in any part of the body. And about 99.9% of the time, AVMs are born in the while you're being born, you know, in vertigo. And so I started having headaches, what were called abnormal migraines or digestive migraines when I was about 10.
Wow.
And it continued until my second pregnancy, but I never had any actual fainting issues or really dizziness. It was just I would see lights. My eyes would dim and I could only see like pinpoints in my eyes. But my second pregnancy with my son, I was 4 months pregnant and we were at Santa's Village actually with our daughter who was 3 at the time.
Wow.
And I remember talking out loud saying, my ears feel kind of funny. And as soon as I said that, I completely lost all of my vision and then passed out cold on the ground. And I did, you know, wake up and was given some water, and there was a nurse that was working there, and she just said, well, you're pregnant and that is normal. It happens. It's not that big of a deal. And so I, you know, I was 23 years old. I followed the protocol of the medical model at that time. Mm-hmm. And then again, when my son was 3, I passed out completely cold, in my house. I was the only one home. But I was on the phone with a friend of mine who lives about 10 minutes away. She had an infant, so she had to find somebody to take her infant, get in her car, drive to Milford. Thank God my house was unlocked because she came in and that's how I woke up. She shook me.
Oh, God.
And she said I looked pretty much green. And I had a lot of confusion for about 24 hours. Couldn't remember certain people's names, people that I should have been able to remember. Not like my husband or my, you know, my children or my mother or something, but like my nephew's girlfriend that I'd seen several times. I could picture her, but I could not remember her name. I did go to the doctors the next day, my regular PCP at the time, and told them all of my symptoms, and he said, I think I know what's wrong with you, and I don't think it's serious. And that was it. Then a few years after that, several years, I had another episode. I was in my bedroom, and at that time, my daughter was a freshman in high school, so she was 14, which means my son was 11, and I remember thinking, something's just not right. I'm going to go upstairs, and I just started talking gibberish, and my husband thought I was kidding until he saw me, and he's like, oh, you need to go to the hospital, and I said, well, I'm not going to the hospital. We were going to my daughter's singing engagement at Orono High School, and I said, I'm going to that, and so I did, and went to the doctors again the next day, and I was just told that I had abnormal migraines, and I said, well, should I get a CT scan? And the doctor at the time, who she is no longer in practice in Bangor, said, no, CTs are very expensive and you don't need one.
I know, and that's the thing that I'm so shocked that they do the MRI first, because the CT is so much, you know, after we learned, and it's just, it really shocked me.
I was given no actual diagnosis and no CT or MRI. Nothing was done. And then I didn't have very many symptoms. No, you know, consecutive headaches or anything for about close to 4 years. And then I started getting this headache and some neck pain on my left side, which that's my surgery site, is the left side of my brain.
Right.
And some shoulder issues on the left side, but I was a weightlifter at the time, and I just, you know, thought that I had a pinched nerve, and I was really busy. I had a full-time job. I was the director of fitness at the Hammond Street Senior Center. I also worked privately with clients doing fitness classes and energy work, such as Reiki and everything. Mm-hmm. I had a 14-year-old and an 18-year-old and, you know, a house. And so, I just thought, you know, it could have been stress or, you know, whatever. Finally, I did go to the walk-in care at Penobscot Community Health in Old Town. Mm-hmm. And the FMP did the evaluation, and she said, you just need a massage. And I went to my massage therapist, and it was fabulous, but it certainly did not deal with the consequences that happened to me 2 weeks later. We were in Belfast at a race for my son. It was his freshman year in high school, and it's one of our favorite races, favorite locations in Belfast. I really thought I was having probably one of my best days ever. We got in the car to go home after the race and stopped at a store to get a sandwich. I took like one bite and had a horrible, horrible pain. A pain so severe that I was not able to really speak very well. I could just say pretty much, it hurts, it hurts. My husband was on his cell phone, and so he couldn't see me. And so when he finally hung up the phone, he turned around and saw what I looked like and saw that I couldn't really talk very well. And so he went about 90 miles an hour from Belfast to Bangor to go to the emergency room. And we went in, and like they usually do at the ER, they wanted to sit me in the waiting room. And he said, "She's not waiting. Something is wrong, and she needs to be seen right now." And there was a nurse there, and he has said several times in the past 4.5 years that that nurse was one of my lifesavers. She looked at me. She said, "Bring her in. She needs to be looked at." She completely took control. She said to the doctor, "She needs a CT scan, and she needs it right now."
Good for her.
So within a half an hour, Dr. Rosario came out, who was the neurosurgeon on call, to talk to my husband. And he said, "Your wife has a ruptured AVM. Mm-hmm. She needs to get to Boston immediately. There's nothing that we can do for her here. And this is really bad." And my husband was kind of shocked and bewildered on, he didn't know what an AVM was. I had never heard of an AVM. So he said, "Well, what does that mean?" And he said, "You know, is she really in danger?" And he said, "I'm afraid that she is." So there was some bad weather. I was not able to get on to Life Flight, so I had to get into an ambulance and do the four and a half hours from Eastern Maine Medical Center to Tufts University in Boston.
Wow. What a scary story. I mean, an event. So scary. And how did you, were you in the hospital long?
I was in the hospital for almost a month at Tufts. Mm-hmm. They saw the severe bleed in my brain, which was my stroke-like symptoms. I didn't have a typical stroke because of a blood clot. My stroke was because of the severity of the bleed in my brain.
Right.
And so a lot of times people have emergency craniotomy or brain surgery, and they tried to use medication to stop some of the bleed, to reduce some of the inflammation that was in my brain and the swelling. And so that was what they did for about 3 weeks, I believe. I had 2 embolizations, which it was under anesthesia. They brought in what sounds like glue to surround the ruptured AVM in my brain to remove as much of the blood as possible, so that for them to be successful in the craniotomy and the removal of all of the tangle, is what they called it,
right.
They needed to be able to really get in there. They couldn't say at first how successful it was going to be. You know, once I went in to the 8-hour craniotomy brain surgery. So I had 3 angiograms, one when I first got to Tufts, one in the middle, and then after my surgery, I had the second embolization, which was 4 hours, the day before I went in for the 8-hour brain surgery. And then that was the 18th of October, and I was able to go home. We drove home, I think, on the 21st or the 22nd of October. Mm-hmm. I think I was only in ICU for another day after my surgery, and then they put me in another room, and I had a roommate. They did the angiogram to make sure that there was no more bleed and there was no more foreseeable damage or any more tangles for them to deal with. And they said, you can go home. So we went home. I had 48 staples in my head and I was all wrapped up like
a month.
And away we went to go home.
Wow. Now, totally different subject. Audience, I would love to tell you that one thing that I have major help with in my recovery is doTERRA essential oils. I use them for everything. I was on TBI radio for an hour, and I do know that an hour talking about oils still was not enough. So
no.
I have another oil lover. And Michelle, can you tell us a little about doTERRA?
Certainly. I actually started working with essential oils, not specific to doTERRA, about 10 years ago.
Wow. And
I started doing energy work. And worked with Reiki energy and different types of healing energies and found just that I liked the scent of essential oils. So when I was doing some hand or foot massage for my clients, I started using oils. Mm-hmm. And I went to an event that I was invited to by not even a friend at the time, just somebody that I barely knew, and was talked and educated about doTERRA essential oils. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard of certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils until that night. And I was that typical person. I said, well, I really need to go home and think about this. I need to go home and talk to my husband. I need to do my own research and you know, whatever. And so she just was persistent. You know, did you do your research? What did your husband have to say? What was your thought on the class? You know, how did you like the wild orange essential oil that I gave you as a you know, a gift? And so I was invited to a second class, and I went, and I decided I was going to get a kit, and I got the smallest kit there was, and still kind of went home and wasn't, you know, a complete believer. I was interested. I definitely was interested, but I just continued to use the products that I got in my small kit, and then I decided to educate myself, and I decided to go to more classes, and I found that my belief system on these oils specifically, the certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils from doTERRA, were higher quality than the ones that I had started using years before.
Right.
And that was, I believe, in 2003. I'm sorry, 2000. Yes, I believe around 2003. And I'm sorry. No, that is definitely not right. 2013, and my episode was 2014. When I was in Tufts in Boston, and I was finally able to have some type of conversation, mm-hmm. I told my husband, I've got these oils at home. Mm-hmm. I need them. This is what I need. I need you to bring them to me. And so he had to go drop the kids off so that they could go back to school. And he brought what he thought was my oils. And it was some oils, but none of the list that I had given him. So I said, okay, everything else that's there is what I need. And what I thought I really, really needed was the deep blue rub. I thought, I don't need any type of opiate pain or pain medications or anything. I just need my deep blue rub. And, you know, I wasn't really coherent, obviously, because when you have brain surgery and when you have a bleed in your brain, you probably need more than essential oils. But they were very comforting to me. And perhaps I wasn't quite able to understand that quality of it at that time. Yeah. But boy, did I rub the deep blue rub all over my head while I was at the hospital. But as time went on, you know, once I got home, I had to relearn everything. I had to learn how to talk correctly. I had to learn how to read. I had to learn how to write. I had to learn how to add and subtract and, you know, do all of those things. And when I was able to do that, I would call some of the uplines and some of the diamond leaders with doTERRA, and I asked them, what can I do to improve my brain? Physically, emotionally, educationally, what can I do? I want my life back. I don't want my new life. I want my old life. And they suggested to me some things, one of them being frankincense essential oil. It goes beyond the blood-brain barrier, which that's what I needed for the healing, part of the healing process.
Of course, yes.
And the only essential oils anywhere that can be taken internally are certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils.
Thank you.
And so
everybody tells me that you can't drink them, and I'm like, yes, you can.
You can. But I would never suggest that to somebody, and I would never do that to myself, and I would never offer that, you know, to my children or my other family members if it was not from doTERRA.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so then I did some more research and I looked for blood-brain barrier essential oils. Black pepper, copaiba. And then I contacted Dr., I believe, Melissa Heisel. And she is a doTERRA leader. And she was a doctor of chiropractic and a functional medicine practitioner. And I said, you know, I was told that perhaps I would end up having seizures because of my ruptured AVM in my brain. Mm-hmm. Percentage-wise, a lot of people that go through what I went through end up having seizures. And that was a huge fear. And I said, what can I do to at least try to improve my health and be as preventative as I can? And again, frankincense essential oil was a big part of the suggestion from, you know, a doctor. Mm-hmm. And so not only that, there's a product called DDR Prime, and that is a very supportive neurological supplement. I take 5 drops underneath my tongue or in a veggie capsule in the morning and 5 more drops at night or, you know, around dinner time. I put a few drops of that on my brain stem and then pretty much all the way down my spine. Rose essential oil, which is the highest vibration essential oil in the universe, has a lot of properties that are healing and seizure preventative. And so I use that on my third eye, which is right above your nose, in between both of your actual eyes. And I also put that on my spine as well to help just improve my cognition and hopefully prevent any type of seizure activity.
Wow, that's even more than I know. I mean, as far as the rows. Now, Michelle, can you tell everybody, like, how many rose petals it takes to create one bottle of 5 milliliters?
I'm really not quite sure. I'm thinking, like, hundreds of petals. That's why the price is a little bit higher than the average individual wants to spend. Mm-hmm. But it depends on how high quality you want and how successful you want in your health and your recovery process.
That is very true. One drop of peppermint is equivalent to 30 cups of peppermint tea.
Yes.
And there's 45 lemons and grapefruit and oranges in a 15 milliliter bottle, which a lot of people are telling me that they can have grapefruit as soon as I say grapefruit, because that's what I drink in my water. And I'm like, I'm on steroid medicine, and they actually distill the whole grapefruit. It's the rind and everything. And so a lot of people are very surprised. Now, I am grateful for the information you provided for me. Can you tell us any energy work that you do or share?
Definitely. I am a Reiki master teacher, which means I can actually teach other practitioners the Reiki process and attune them so that they are able to practice on themselves, their family, and clients, if that's what their what their goal is to do.
I'm looking for that myself.
I started doing Reiki in 2010. I did Reiki 1, and I was attuned, and I did my 21-day clearing process that is mandatory, and I did my practice. I practiced my self-care and my self-Reiki techniques for an entire year. So I'm pretty above board as far as the Reiki healing. I don't tell people that you can go online and become a Reiki practitioner or a Reiki master. I really believe, because I follow the Asui belief system about the Reiki practice itself. So I waited a whole year before I became a Reiki 2 practitioner. And then I went through again, and I did the practice and I did the work. And so it took me 4 years to become a Reiki master teacher from a wonderful man who also was my Tai Chi instructor and my Tai Chi teacher. And he was a minister and a teacher for 30 years in the Hamden area.
That is awesome.
I also do intergroup energy therapy.
Wow. That is something I'm really interested in, because with my stroke, they gave me every single medicine to bring down my blood pressure, and nothing worked. Nothing at all. And so they had a nurse from the acute rehab come down in ICU And she did Reiki on me. And in 20 minutes, my blood pressure went down to 30 points. So it's pretty amazing. And Michelle, if any survivors want to reach out to you, do you have a link, or should they reach out to you on Facebook or a website?
Sure. I can be reached, of course, via email at balancedwoman25@yahoo.com. And I can also be reached on Facebook or Instagram. Facebook is Functional Wellness, and Instagram is Wellness and Oils 2, T-O-O.
Thank you.
All of the photos are a yellow brain with muscles.
Awesome. I'm going to reach out to you myself. Now, is there any 3 tips in your recovery that you can think of that would help other survivors implement at home?
Certainly. Before I became sick, I was really, really dedicated to my health and wellness. Mm-hmm. My spiritual and emotional health, you know, with the Reiki energy, fitness, any type of cardiovascular exercise, whether it's walking, whether it's jogging, whether it's marching, or, you know, whatever anybody's capability is at this time. I would meet somebody where they're at. Meet yourself where you're at. Don't tell yourself you need to be a marathon runner if you're not able to walk. But right. Just starting any type of exercise. I work with clients that aren't able to walk. They sit in their chairs and we do exercises that way. So exercise, breathing techniques. I bring those into both my energy work and my exercise classes. The first thing we do is we do some deep breathing exercises and techniques. And then the third one would be, of course, the essential oils. I bring it all together. I bring my oils to my fitness classes. I teach a class, a brain injury and stroke survivor fitness class. I teach it personally, you know, physically here in the state of Maine, and I do online classes with a company called Wellpeer, which is based out of Virginia. And we do the breathing. And in my physical classes in like Bangor, I always bring my oils. So I do it all, you know, as a body, mind, and spirit technique. So all of those things would be something that I suggest for people if they want to help their healing process.
Yes, I believe that so many holistic ways have helped me the most with my recovery. Now, Michelle, I do want to thank you. And guys, I want to end with a quote. And my quote is, whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing well. And I would like to invite you all to Emily's Corner on Facebook. It's purple and green icon because there's a lot of Emily's Corner. And I also would like to invite you to my new website coming soon, Stroke and TBI Allies, ALLIES.com. And I will see you soon.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you so much.